Greetings to the brightest audience in Colorado, in the nation, and nay, throughout the known world, which I think the whole world is known. And that's kind of a sad thing, because that means if America collapses, there's nowhere to go. I am not Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host and pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank Bob for allowing me to sit in while he is out in Los Angeles, simultaneously promoting young earth creationism and the personhood movement. And just to bring you up to date, now my wife has now ruined me for virtually every restaurant in America that serves breakfast. And we used to like to go to breakfast, but now she's pretty much ruined me. She put together this skillet this morning. Now let me tell you about this skillet. Now, this is pressure cooker pork. She puts like a quarter of a pig in this pressure cooker and pressure cooks it down until this pork is just flaking apart. It just melts in your mouth. And then she fries that up with some potatoes now. She throws some green onions in there, throws a couple of fried eggs on top. Now, there's some secret spices and some other things going on in there that I'm not familiar with and that she's not going to be telling anybody about. I'm telling you, this skillet... This skillet was as big as my head, and I ate the whole thing. And I don't know that I can ever go to Denny's or Village Inn or IHOP or any other such restaurant and enjoy their breakfast skillet again. So my wife is rapidly closing off all of her restaurant options to go out to dinner. Pretty soon, we'll only be able to go out for sushi, and that's only when we're on one of the coasts. Because my wife is inherently distrustful of inland fish. Inherently. Someone asked me the other day, how can I find good sushi in Denver? I said, the key to having good sushi in Denver is never having had good sushi before. Okay. Now, I don't want to offend anyone. But that's just her opinion. I personally don't eat sushi. I don't like to eat anything that has ever swam. Generally speaking. All right. But let's get to some serious news here. Very quickly, from the Los Angeles Times, today's schedule at Joe Biden's office. Joe Biden's schedule today lists a meeting with the Chief of Transparency for Economic Recovery. The meeting is closed to the press. That's the highlight today from Joe Biden's schedule. From the Los Angeles Times, thank you very much, Los Angeles Times. Now, quickly, want to speak about the March for Life. March for Life coming up Friday, January 22nd. That's next Friday. The schedule is almost complete. We're still waiting on a couple of superstars to get back to us and let us know if they're going to be able to make it to town. But I want to encourage anyone out there involved in the personhood petition effort here in Colorado, bring your petitions to the march. Bring your petitions to the march and turn them in. Whether the petition is full, whether it only has one signature, bring them all and turn them in. Don't worry, you can get more petitions there, but this will give the leaders an opportunity to assess their progress in the petition drive. Remember, we need 100,000 signatures. So come on out to the March for Life, turn in your signatures, stand up for life. And here's some phenomenal speakers. And just enjoy fellowship, but help the leaders of the personhood petition effort here assess the progress by bringing your petitions to the march and turning them in, and you'll be able to get plenty more. Don't worry about that. Also, we have a special event coming up this Saturday. This Saturday, there will be a meeting of personhood leaders starting at the Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic, the largest operating clinic in the United States where children are murdered. You can join leaders there. And sidewalk counselors who work to help moms change their mind before they kill their babies. They'll be there from 8 o'clock until 10:30. From there, these leaders in the personhood movement will be meeting at the Sapp Brothers truck stop. Now, let me tell you a place where you get a good skillet now. If you can't get my wife's skillet, head on over to Sapp Brothers truck stop there in Commerce City. It's at basically, it's one block north of I-70 on Quebec, out there just before you get to the Stapleton development area there. The Sapp Brothers truck stop, where you get a fine skillet and meet with personhood petition leaders. They're going to have a training session on not only how to gather signatures, but on how to encourage people to take petitions themselves and go out and get us more signatures. So that will take place starting at 11 o'clock. So mark it on your calendar. Make it down to the clinic at 8 a.m. and witness against the abortionists and witness to the mothers who are going in to kill their babies. And maybe you'll see somebody turn around. It's always a blessing. That'll be going from 8 to 10:30. And then head on over to Sapp Brothers. Get yourself a fine skillet and meet with the personhood petition leaders and get some training on how to gather signatures and how to encourage others to do the same. Okay, so that's the local update. And if you want to call in, I'm going to be talking about Al-Qaeda. I'm going to be talking about homosexual marriage. I'm going to talk about Avatar. That should make them light up. We'll also be talking, we may talk a little bit more about Haiti. We've sparked quite a bit of controversy when I, you know, just asked Pat Robertson not to be so embarrassing when he opens his yap about things. And so I've had some people call in and they've been a little bit upset, telling me I don't know what I'm talking about Haiti. And so we'll talk a little bit about Haiti, maybe if we get to it. We'll talk about the Democrats' plan to steal the vote. And we'll talk about the coming crisis for the U.S. dollar, if we get to it. If you're interested in any of those topics, we'll talk about them. All right, now let's talk about... Now, Bob Enyart's out in Los Angeles. He has to get on an airplane to come back. And it's just making me a little nervous, okay? Listen to this. From CNN this morning, Dateline Washington, the United States is closely monitoring a credible threat from Al-Qaeda in Yemen against the U.S. homeland. One official from Yemen said that the threat is fairly general in nature. They don't have too much specificity as to the exact timing of this threat. Another source said that in follow-up on accused Christmas Day airplane bomber Omar Farouk Abdulmutallab, officials here in the United States came across some information relevant to aviation specifically. Now, the information has to do with aviation and Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. The U.S., this source tells CNN, has some information about the time frame. They say it's more definitive than it usually is. The source would not say if officials have a name or a nationality of the person or persons involved. Now, one thing I'm guessing is that Farouk Abdulmutallab, he has that information. He knows the guys' names. I mean, he had a bunk next to these guys at the terrorist training camp there in Yemen. Mutallab has the information, but he's all lawyered up. You see, we can't go in and shove bamboo shoots under Abdulmutallab's fingernails to get the names of these guys because, well, we've allowed him to get lawyers, and I think they're just, right now they're wrangling over what prescription medications he gets so that he sleeps well at night. And how exactly the skin graft surgery is going to go. I think that's the only information that's being communicated with Farouk Abdulmutallab at this point. And so the guys, the names, the addresses, the emails, the Skype accounts of every terrorist who's sitting there with another underwear bomb, that's all still in Abdulmutallab's head, you see. Because Barry Ho gave him a lawyer. Am I allowed to say Barry Ho? I think Bob doesn't like me to say that. That's a slip. Anyway, if you want to know why I call Barack Obama Barry Ho, you'll have to go and listen to my show at theweeklyworldview.com because I'm not going to get into it here because I think it makes Bob a little bit uncomfortable. Anyway, but not as uncomfortable as Barry Ho giving this chump a lawyer. That makes everybody a lot more uncomfortable. All right. Now, more news from Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Their next big hit is on its way. The leader of an Al-Qaeda cell in Yemen has been killed in clashes with Yemeni security forces, according to Yemeni government officials there. Abdullah al-Mahdadahad. Did I get that right? Was there too many ha-ha-hads in there? His name is Abdullah al-Mahdadahad. He led a cell. He used to lead a cell in Yemen until he was dispatched to Allah. Recently, an official source in the Yemeni Interior Ministry said the al-Qaeda leader was killed during an exchange of gunfire with Yemeni security forces. Four other al-Qaeda suspects were also arrested. Now, no word on whether or not their lawyers are allowing them to be addressed. Let's hope, since they were arrested in Yemen, that they haven't yet acquired Columbia-educated attorneys. And what's the deal with these attorneys for these terrorists? They always seem to be Jewish. Is it just me, or am I? They always seem to be Jewish. It's bizarre. You've got Jewish lawyers educated in New York City defending people who are sworn to the destruction of the Jewish race. I mean, the whole world just seems to be insane. Anyway, we don't know if these other four al-Qaeda suspects have lawyered up there in Yemen, but there are probably a number of people already on their way from New York City, lawyer types, headed to Yemen to make sure that the rights of these al-Qaeda suspects are not violated by Yemeni officials over there. Okay, so keep Bob Enyart in your prayers. He has to get on a plane Friday or Saturday. And I think I'm going to call Bob up and give him a quick primer on how to profile. Just profile everyone as you walk down. You know, everybody, try to make eyeball-to-eyeball contact with everyone. That's what I do when I fly. Try to make eye contact with everyone on the plane. And if one guy's eyelid twitters just a little bit, I'm watching that dude the whole flight. All right. So remind me to call Bob up and give him that primer on profiling. All right, now what do we want to do next? I really hate to talk about this kind of thing because it's the kind of thing that shouldn't be discussed in public. But because of the state of the collapse of Western civilization, we are forced, as moral Christians who care about the fabric of our society, we are forced to discuss things in public that should only be discussed in deep, dark, cavernous places where no one could ever hear about it. But we have to talk about it. Here we go. From WorldNet Daily, a jury took 25 minutes to convict a Maine gay marriage advocate. That's a gay marriage advocate from the state of Maine. They convicted him of manslaughter for the death of a partner. Can I just say partner? Let me just scribble out this word. For the death of one of his partners, who defense attorneys said got a thrill out of using a loaded gun during unmentionable deviant behavior that these two freaks engaged in. Bruce Lavelle Davidson, a prominent homosexual marriage advocate there in the state of Maine, was convicted today for the April 18th death of Fred Wilson. Lavelle apparently put a .44 Magnum handgun to the head of the aforementioned Mr. Wilson and pulled the trigger twice without making sure the gun wasn't loaded. See, it was all supposed to be a part of a game between these two fellows who were apparently quite friendly with one another. And he didn't clear the chamber on his .44 Magnum, and so the game got out of hand, so to speak. The defense in the case now said that there were three men participating. Now, right there, see, you don't even want to mention that. What has our society come to? The defense said there were three men participating in the deviant party, and they were all consenting adults, and they were aware of the risks. The defense also said that no one was at fault because Wilson, the guy who got his head blown off, he was an ultimate thrill seeker and wanted the gun to be loaded to maximize the experience. So this is the caliber of person that is promoting homosexual marriage in New England, okay? This is the caliber. Okay, I didn't even mean that, but you're right. This is the caliber of human being that is promoting homosexual marriage in New England successfully. He shot another man in the head. And the guy was apparently at least ostensibly a friend of his. I mean, if you read the whole story, which is really disgusting to read the whole story. Anyway, so the defense says no one was at fault. They were consenting adults. So somebody got shot in the head. Nope, nobody was at no harm, no foul. What does the defense mean? That it's just another dead queer and we shouldn't care? Is that what they're trying? I mean, that's the way it comes across to me. Well, it's just another dead homosexual. Who cares? Well, I care. And anyone interested in justice cares. Even though this person was a deviant freak, he did not deserve to be shot in the head by this prominent advocate of homosexual marriage there in the state of Maine. And this person, Bruce Levelee Davidson, prominent homosexual activist, he should be put to death for the murder of this other unfortunate pervert. And I guess we'll leave that where it is. I mean, unless you disagree. I mean, if you disagree, then we could talk about it further. But I'd prefer to just put that aside because it's just disgusting. Now, let's move on to the film world. Let's talk about Avatar. Big movie. How many people here have seen it? Nobody. No one in our studio. Okay, no one's seen it, but it's a big movie. Anyway, apparently around the world, people who have watched Avatar are suddenly having suicidal thoughts. Yeah. According to this article from the London Daily Mail, the futuristic blockbuster from director James Cameron tells the story of a corporation trying to mine for a rare mineral on the planet Pandora after Earth's resources have been depleted. The humans clash with the natives, who are a peaceful race of blue-skinned creatures called the Na'vi, who live in harmony with nature. Well, fans of the film are going on the internet, they're going on these chat sites, and they're talking about, I guess, the post-Avatar blues. They're blue that they can't be blue and live on Pandora, apparently. Ivar Hill, who's a 17-year-old fan from Sweden, he was on one of these chat sites talking about Avatar. So this 17-year-old poor sap from Sweden, he says, "When I woke up this morning after watching Avatar for the first time yesterday, the world seemed so gray. It was like my whole life, everything I've done and worked for has lost all its meaning. It just seems so meaningless. I still don't really see any reason to keep going and doing anything at all. I live on a dying world." That 17-year-old Ivar Hill from Sweden, he's rather depressed. Mike, who's another young man, typing from his mother's basement, he said on a chat room regarding Avatar, "Ever since I went to see Avatar, I've been depressed. Watching the wonderful world of Pandora and all the Na'vi made me want to be one of them. I can't stop thinking about all the things that happened in the film and all the tears and shivers I got from it. I even contemplate suicide, thinking that if I do it, I will be rebirthed in a world similar to Pandora. And everything would be the same as in Avatar." That's another young gentleman who's apparently watched the movie. Stacy Kaiser, a psychotherapist, said obsession with the film was masking more serious problems in the fans' lives. She says they're seeing Avatar. They're lonely people, and a lot of them don't have a lot going for them in their lives and don't have a lot going on right now. The movie has opened up a portal for them to express their depression. All right, now I disagree with psychotherapists because, frankly, I think psychotherapists should all be deported. But these are people with spiritual problems that psychotherapists interpret as psychological problems. And these are lonely, loser people who've been improperly reared by their parents. And they're just, it's pathetic and sad, really. And what I might recommend to some of these people, have you ever thought about reading a book? I mean, if you think 3D effects are cool, you should try expanding your own mind and using your own imagination, reading a book. I don't know. I suppose reading a book can make you suicidal, too. I guess it depends on where you're coming from. Anyway, these poor slacker youth, it's just sad. I mean, if a movie can have this much of an impact on your life, you need to get a life. I mean, that's just pathetic. This reminds me of a friend of mine when I was in fourth grade. He went and watched Star Wars 23 times. And he bought all the little men and all the toys. And I think he's doing okay right now. I think I ran across him on Facebook. And he's not suicidal anyway. But I guess that's the difference between the teenagers today and the teenagers from 20-some-odd years ago. All right. So that's Avatar for you. Let's see. Do we want to talk about Democrats stealing the vote? Is that any surprise to anyone? Let's start out with the dollar crisis. Okay? Now, I personally, I'm not storing food and water, and I'm not preparing for a Port-au-Prince-like state here in the United States at the moment. I'm not concerned about civilization collapsing to the point where people are painting their faces blue and running around with rifles and with feathers on and stuff. I'm not saying that won't happen. I'm not worried about that in the immediate future. What I am worried about is 20% unemployment and 60% interest rates. That I am actually concerned could happen here in the not too distant future. And Reuters tells us that the United States, according to a panel of experts, must soon raise taxes or cut government spending to curb its debt, and failure to act will risk a crippling dollar crisis as investor confidence ebbs. Ebbs, I said. For you public school students out there, look it up in the dictionary. E-B-B, ebb. Okay. Now, Rudolph Penner, who's a former head of the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, co-chaired a committee of 24 other fiscal experts talking about the fiscal future of the United States. The two-year study by the panel said that the White House has some time right now on their side to restore growth, but they must act. And they say they must either raise taxes dramatically or they must cut spending dramatically. They say in the next year or two, large deficits and more borrowing are unavoidable, given the severity of the economic downturn. Now, why would they say that? Large deficits and more borrowing are unavoidable? How about we just don't spend as much and don't borrow as much? It's not unavoidable. Nobody's got a gun to their head. Right? I mean, they're not hanging out with that advocate of homosexual marriage up in Maine. Nobody's got a .44 to their head making them borrow money. Anyway, they say, so over the next couple years, there's some things we could do. They say, however, the action ought to begin soon thereafter. So they're basically saying Obama can spend us into an oblivion for another couple years and not have to pay the piper. I don't know if I think these guys are all that expert, to be honest with you, in economics. They say if action is taken soon, the country has a wide choice of options to help achieve fiscal sustainability. All the choices are difficult, but if action is postponed, the options will be fewer, and the choices will be even more difficult. What are the odds that the current Republicans and Democrats in our government, federal government, are going to restrain spending or raise taxes or do whatever it takes to achieve some sort of fiscal sanity? What are the odds that's going to happen in the next 2 years? I'll give you a prediction. What was that? You had a prediction? Zero. Goose egg. None. It's not going to happen. So, I mean, just be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. The worst is not yet behind us, and Barry Ho's making sure of that. All right. Democrats are planning to steal the vote. Yes. A report from WorldNet Daily, John Fund is warning that Senator Chuck Schumer from New York plans to propose universal voter registration legislation, possibly before Valentine's Day. Fund says Schumer is definitely going to introduce a bill. The idea, which is embraced by Barry Ho and was embraced when he was a candidate, is to shift responsibility for registering to vote from the individual to the federal government. All eligible citizens would automatically be registered to vote. The government would use existing lists like DMV records, income tax returns, welfare rolls, and unemployment rolls, and they would just enroll everyone. And I suppose if you're unemployed and you're on welfare and you have registered a vehicle, you would be registered to vote three times if you were a Democrat. Anyway, once registered to vote, individuals would stay on the federal rolls even if they moved to another state. So now Republicans are upset because they say this is the Democrats' way of basically installing their own voter base in perpetuity. And the Republicans are absolutely correct in that. But what the Republicans don't realize is that anytime you build your house on the sand, there's a chance that with even the slightest change in the weather, that your house is going to be washed away. And the leadership of our government has built their house on the sand of a Democratic vote, allowing welfare enrollees, allowing the unemployed, allowing non-landowners to vote. So they've basically given the people who are receiving other people's money the right to vote for people who will keep giving them other people's money. So the entire system is bankrupt, and it's a house built on the sand. And unfortunately, the Republican Party will be the beneficiary of the immediate negative results of the massive voter fraud that's about to occur and has been occurring. But, you know, democracy is inherently, well, it's sandy, so to speak. I mean, it's just not the best way to do things. To allow the unwashed masses of ignorant slackers to determine who's in the government is a huge mistake. Okay? All right. Now, how much time do we have left? Roughly. Okay. Do we want to talk about Haiti? Now, there's quite a controversy about Haiti. People called me. People commented to me, Doug, you don't know what you're talking about. These people made a pact with Satan. It was written into their constitution. I've been to Haiti. They'll tell you that. Well, I pulled up Haiti's constitution, and the Haitians formed their constitution, quote, this is from their constitution, in the presence of the supreme being before whom all mankind are equal and who has scattered so many species of creatures on the surface of the earth for the purpose of manifesting his glory and his power by the diversity of his works. Now, that just doesn't sound like they're talking about Satan to me. I'm not saying that the people in Haiti are not wicked and rebellious. I mean, they're almost as bad as the people in Chicago and Denver and San Francisco, and maybe even worse. But they didn't make a pact with the devil is all I'm saying. Okay, they didn't actually do the Robert Johnson down at the crossroads with a quart of bourbon shaking hands with the devil. And I just wish Pat Robertson wasn't such an overall embarrassment. All right, come out to the March for Life, Friday, January 22nd. Turn in your petitions. It's a real key, folks, to turn in the petitions so the leadership there can assess the progress of the personhood movement. That's Friday, January 22nd, the March for Life at the Colorado Capitol. Visit us at KGOV on the internet. And visit Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. If you're thinking about sending your kids to school, think about Maranatha Great Christian School. God bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow.